Hello and welcome to another episode of the Talking Heads podcast with me, Lucy Chamberlain.
And me, Saul Walker.
Crispy leaves, your favourite big coat, and the occasional dash into the garden to fleece those tender plants means autumn has arrived. And with it, the beauty of colour and texture as our gardens turn those magical oranges, reds, yellows and browns.
Autumn, like spring, bookends the main growing seasons in our garden, but it doesn't mean that gardening is over. In fact, autumn is a fantastic time to finish off all those jobs that didn't quite get done and start planning new designs for your gardening year ahead.
As the temperatures slowly get colder, a little more rain and wind descends on the UK, and while our gardens tuck themselves in for the winter ahead, Saul and I will still be outside whatever the weather, harvesting, sowing, mulching, dividing and planting. And we hope to bring you along with us.
So settle back for this week's episode of Premium Horty Waffle as we take you inside the busy and exciting world of the Modern Head Gardener. Well, hello, listener. I'm back. It's been a couple of weeks.
Hooray.
Since I've last talked to you all. Lots has happened in those last weeks. I'm sure we'll get to it in a bit. But yes, welcome to new listeners to the Talking Head podcast, where Lucy and I waffle on about our gardening lives. And of course, in the sunny and dry county of Essex, or semi-dry anyway, it's Lucy. Good evening.
Good evening, Saul. Yes, semi-dry. I think we are having a weather front through at the minute. It's actually raining at this moment, but it has been very dry, ridiculously dry, and also really very warm as well. We hit 25 degrees yesterday, and I know it's not just us.
Wow.
It's the whole of the country is having this sort of mini heat wave, this Indian summer, which we kept hoping we might have, and then now we've got it. Everyone's complaining about it, worrying that the climate's going all wibbly wobbly. So we're never happy, but the weather is always a wonderful platform for discussions.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Especially if you're British, we love talking the weather. I wish I could see out my window. It is pitch black because that has changed in the last 3 weeks since I probably last recorded with you. We at least had a little bit of a sunset going. The time is ticking away. We are definitely, I feel today was the first day a sort of felt autumnal. It was not chilly, but it was colder this morning. Like you said, it's been like 25, mid-teens for the nighttime temperatures. Today felt a bit chillier. We've got this yellow warning for rain. We should explain, actually, if you're listening abroad, the UK Meteorological Service, I said that quite well.
Well done.
Has a warning system that goes from yellow, amber to red in severity of things like rain, snow, wind, etc. So if you ever hear us saying there's a yellow warning, that's the lower end of the warnings. And I got to say, sometimes the warnings can be a bit of a damp squib. Sometimes they can actually be spot on. So we never really know what we're going to be hit with, but we've got a lot of rain coming in. Anyway, yeah, yellow warning. And then it's going to be quite cold at the weekend. So we're definitely going to need those big coats. We're going to have to wrap
up. It is going to be cold. It's again, doing something very similar to last year, although I think not so extreme as last year, because last year, late November, it suddenly turned on the sixpence and we'd had 20 degrees in November, and then it suddenly went down to -6 for about 7 to 10 days. I don't feel that that's happening, but it's something very similar. Is I think the autumns feel like they're being concertinaed up at the moment. We're having these lovely, as we say, sort of Indian summers, where we do get glorious sunshine way into October, and we're almost halfway through the month now. But yeah, looking at the long range forecast, well, in the next few days, it is set to dip down for the weekend to maybe 3 or 4 degrees overnight.
Yeah.
So that's looking at Essex. So I would imagine up in Scotland.
Yeah, it could be cold.
It's going to be, there may be the first frosts. I'm not sure. We'll find out.
I would say if you've got a few tender plants out like I have, it might be time to think about tucking them away. I think we're going to be okay down here in the West Coast. We are in the banana belt down here, so I'm not too bothered, but I will go out on Saturday night, Sunday morning and assess things. Definitely got to start thinking about putting my polytunnels up to actually put things under cover. But that might be this weekend or next weekend. We'll see how the weather pans out. I've been away for a bit. Apologies for last week if you missed us. A bit of a family emergency meant that our traditional night for recording was taken up by a traditional night of being in A&E. But you know, that's always the fun of the fair. Thanks for everyone who reached out and said, I hope I'm okay. Everything's okay now. We're back to normal. I'm back on the mower, so everything is
relieved to hear.
It's great.
That's good.
And before that, we had a lovely episode from you, Lucy, because I was on holiday. So it's all happening. Lovely holiday off, followed by all these things happening. And we've had lots of messages, which we'll go through in a bit, of people who loved hearing about your memories and the reminiscing behind East Donland and all those sort of history that you had. It was nice to put it down on tape, I guess, have a recorded version of the history that you have there.
I did enjoy it because I did feel a bit self-indulgent, but then the whole point was that it was a sort of a farewell to East Donland. So I felt I could indulge myself to a degree with the history, because there is a lot. There's, you know, I gave you the highlights there, the gleaned highlights. But it was really a nice episode to put together, and I have had lots of lovely comments. I haven't quite caught up with all of them yet on Instagram. So, and I've had a few emails as well. So thank you so much to everybody who enjoyed that episode. And yes, of course, it's tinged with sadness, but at the same time, my objective is to hold on to those lovely memories. And I really would love to do that. And there's so many of them. So that's my goal. We've got another couple of weeks of working at the hall. We're trying to finish off as many jobs as we can and, you know, do the family proud. And that's what we can
do. And leave the garden on a high, as all good head gardeners should do. The garden always sort of comes. I know how you feel. You put so much life into it. So leaving it as good as you can is probably the best thing you can do in the situation. But like I say, a few more weeks so we can still discuss a few more jobs. I'll tell you what, let's get on to the thank you, shall we, first? Because I do feel like we've been building up. A lot of people have reached out and we haven't been saying thank you. So let's go first to the Buy Me a Coffee, Buy Me a Plant page. We've got so many thank yous, which is nice. Now, I think there's five here. So start off with Martin Lee. He's saying thank you for cheering our gardening days, and that he hopes that these plants, I suspect the ones he's bought, make us smile. They always make us smile. We like plants.
Thank you very much. They do.
Yeah.
We do. We love
Kathy them. McKee has said, I love your podcast. I'm so sorry about all your upsetting news this week. That's referring to the podcast a few episodes ago. Thank you for letting us know, and I hope you can feel our support. That's very nice, isn't it?
That's very nice. Yes, and we do really do. So thank you, because people have reached out and it's been lovely. So, and it means a lot to us. So
it does.
Yeah, always grateful for that.
Annette Self. Now, I've met Annette at a few of our flower shows. So hi, Annette. She says, thanks for the great podcast. It's the only one I listen to. Well, we will say there are other great podcasts out there. We listen to a lot of other podcasts. So try them out. I'm now the proud owner of a fabulous new greenhouse. We've seen this on Twitter, haven't we?
Yes, we have. It does look fabulous and new.
It's got a sink in it. A sink.
Not just any sink, wasn't it? Isn't it a butler sink?
It might have been. I can't remember, but I tell you, still.
Yeah, and I don't know where the water... I still can't work out where the water tanks are.
That's true. They must be hidden underneath.
Squirreled away underneath, somewhere.
Maybe. Fabulous greenhouse.
Beautiful,
and a husband.
Beautiful thing. You lucky lady.
Her husband built it as well. So I must get him on my, building mine. That'd be good. Anyway.
He's a keeper.
I'm keen to get some winter veg growing in it. So what do we recommend? Well, here we go. A bit of a question. I already have some winter density lettuce and the spring onion Ishikura. This is going into squash territory here.
No, you're right. You're right. Ishikura.
Ishikura.
Yes, straight away.
Yes. Thank you. Plus, I've just bought your veg patch book, Lucy. Oh, there you go.
Annette, you sweetie. This is a shameless plug. Go on. I do an utterly shameless plug, only because I didn't know Annette was going to ask this question.
You usually do, Lucy.
If anyone reads Gardener's World magazine, and if you look in the September
shameless
issue, which is now, I know, isn't it shocking? September, October and November issue. So October's on sale now. September's been out. So I'm sure you might find a friend who's got a copy, and then November as well. There is a three-part series by a certain head gardener on what to grow in your greenhouse through the winter. And that's so it's all there at the minute, Annette. Just fill your boots. It's hardy salads. There's so much. So if you can grab a copy of that, or have a friend who's got a copy that you can glean from.
Yeah.
There's 3 months worth of stuff to tell you all about there.
Yeah, get down to your newsagents now, Lucy. In Gardener's World magazine, and not shameless at all, Lucy. We love seeing your articles. Now, we've got someone called Someone, which means they're anonymous. Now, wait a minute. Let me look at my other page. Rachel. Rachel, this is from Rachel. I listened to your podcast while trying to get my rather rambling garden into order. That's all of us, Rachel. That's all we're ever doing. So sorry to hear of Lucy's recent issues, but please buy some plants to cheer yourselves up. It's nothing better than buying plants.
We will do that. That's very kind. I already feel boosted. So that's very sweet of you.
And last in the Buy Me a Coffee is from Dorothy Geyer. Now, I think Dorothy's from abroad, I'm taking it. But she says, you both have kept my sanity during COVID. Well, well done. Encouraged me to look at my own garden and establish a forest ecosystem. Oh, that must be something. Wow. Maybe like an agroforestry thing. You should look into
forest.
That.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Forest garden. And make me want to schedule a trip to the UK during garden tour season. Nowhere better to come to look at gardens, Dorothy. Thank you. I listen to your podcast on Monday morning on my way to work. You make my day. Well, have a nice day at work, Dorothy, if you're listening to this in the future. Yeah.
And you may be the same Dorothy who reached out to me on Instagram. And if you are, thank you again for your lovely message. So
there you go. We've also got another... I was going to say foreigner. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? Another person from abroad on our... I'm trying to find it. Here we go. On our iTunes reviews. And this is from someone called Sleepless in Richmond, British Columbia. British Columbia. Oh, her name's April. Hello, April. Been with you two from the beginning in Ladysmith, British Columbia, Canada. Which has quite a similar climate to us. So I'm not surprised that maybe some of the things would work in the UK that might work in British Columbia. Anyway, sad to hear of developments in Lucy's career. She's fine. Silver linings are huge. But she's done so well recently with her show garden. Oh, there you go. Wishing you both well. Loving your waffle. Thank you, April. There you go.
Thanks, April. And we do love a bit of waffle.
We forgot about her show garden. Don't remind her. It's the head has now deflated to the size where it should normally be.
No, I did a talk. I was at Mersey Horticultural Society last night giving a talk.
Yes.
And that it was about the show garden. And do you know what? It was a really lovely talk. And there were a great group of people.
Lovely.
It was at the Mersey Island Museum. And we sat down. David was a superstar because we had some technical glitches, which meant the projector froze and overheated. Oh. So we had a projector plan B, and he was very, very good. Poor man sat on the floor for the whole duration of my talk, manually clicking through the slides for me.
Wow.
So thank you. But honestly, yeah, I did a talk about the show garden behind the scenes, showing how it was all built up. And people, it was great. I think people do want to know not just the finished product, but the whole story behind it. You know, it was a journey. And I think taking an audience with you on that journey is nice. So thank you, Mersey Island, for being so hospitable. I had copious biscuits, including the obligatory custard cream. So they did their research. I'm very grateful.
Oh, do you know what? So I did it. As serendipity is, me and Lucy tend to copy each other. I also was doing a talk last night for the Stokenham Garden Club, which was looking behind the scenes at Chelsea when I was the show manager there. So a similar-ish theme, I guess, looking behind the show gardens. They had Fox's double chocolate biscuits. Now, I will say that's a superb biscuit if you like chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not obsessed by biscuits as much as we are by the weather. You'll be really pleased to hear. But you've probably noticed, regular listeners, that we do mildly obsess over biscuits. So
it's important. It's an important treat during the day to be able to keep us going, the biscuits. And talking of keep going, how is the garden, Lucy? How is, your garden and East Donnelland? We are in autumn. Things are starting to run out of steam slightly. I'm starting my what I would call my cleaning phase. So cleaning the veg garden, the borders, a little few leaves to pick up here and there. It's just going around. Yeah, that's sort of making everything look a bit more tidier than they've been.
Well, do you know what? Because obviously after that, the episode where I had to explain that I'd lost the three bits of work. So as you can imagine, for my financial sanity, I panicked ever so slightly and requested various local jobs to do with gardening. So actually, I can report back on loads of gardens because I've been gardening my socks off, which has been an absolute joy. Absolute joy.
I was going to say, you're a multi-garden head gardener now, aren't you? You are a head gardener of multiple gardens.
I'm only head gardener of East Donnelland Hall for another fortnight. I don't quite know. I've got to rebrand myself. I really have. Slight oversight there. But I've so my own garden at home is still looking very, very summery stroke early autumn. I've still got tomatoes ripening outside. My blight-resistant tomatoes are doing really well. I will talk about that at a separate episode. Ah, okay, yours are gone now. But yeah.
Cucchini did quite hold up for a long time, but I don't think it could have. It went eventually. But oh well, you know, such is life.
Yeah, but no, I say it's mine are just starting to show symptoms of blight. I think these ones that claim to be resistant, they show resistance. That's what we should say. That's the wording. Yeah, because they have resistance, but ultimately they will succumb. But they will take a lot more time to succumb than really blight-susceptible varieties. So in that sense, and I'm overjoyed to say that you still can grow legitimately and successfully tomatoes outside in the UK with these blight-resistant tomatoes. They are really good. The range of varieties that we're becoming available to us, and the cocktails and the cherries and the slices and the beefsteaks, is only going to get more. So more colours, more different shapes and sizes, more growth habits. It's wonderful. So that's quite exciting. I'm loving the fact that we can do that, because as much as I like growing tomatoes in my greenhouse, I don't want to feel like I can only do that. I want to grow them outside because I like a lot of tomatoes. So yeah, they're doing really well. And I've been like you in the home. I've been clearing out spaces in the garden. I've got some bare beds appearing. I've been renovating figs. I need to put some pictures up on Instagram.
Oh, yes, please. Yes.
My local art gallery, where I'm doing some work at the moment, I've been renovating some wonderful figs and putting wires in and tying them in, fan training them all out. That's been really, really enjoyable. Today, I hope Barbara doesn't mind me mentioning, but I was doing a little bit of work for Barbara Siegel in Sudbury, and I was pruning her hybrid vines. Well, so Tayberries and Loganberries.
Okay.
Beasts of things, huge big plants.
Yeah.
Cutting out all the old canes, tying in the new. But again, so satisfying. And then I did a job on Mersey Island yesterday, a totally different garden, very modern, very different. And again, you know, but I'm just loving all the different styles of gardening that I've got. Cottage gardens, I've got wonderful kind of like potager style gardens, I've got this big modern expanse. So yeah, you know, that's lovely. And I've still got the hall. So at the moment I feel utterly spoilt by all the different gardens I'm looking after, and it's great. My knees and my back and my thighs and everything are feeling the strain. And when I got out of the car this evening on the way home, I literally was set in position. It took me a long while to stand up straight. I was struggling a bit, but I have got a lot of work on at the minute, just purely because I panicked and said yes to a lot of stuff. And also, can I just quickly add, because I don't want to feel that people think I've misled them in any way, anyone who does know me and follow my work well will know that I'm actually back on BBC Essex.
Yay!
And I told you about this, didn't I? I got the phone call, and the very first person I phoned was you, because it was such a bolt out of the blue. And so obviously the Saturday show that I was on with Steve and Ian, we all on air, and for the broadcasting kind of like family, we all said goodbye to each other, because we presumed, as we were being told, that was the last of the local radio. There was no more gardening slot going to happen. And that was, I was really gutted about that. And then, was it about 2.5 weeks ago, out of the blue, I got a phone call just saying, would you like to do another gardening show on the Sunday? And so I've done three, I think now, two or three, with Sadie Nine, who's a lovely broadcaster, on the Sundays, 10 to 11 on BBC Essex. And again, it's the same format, an hour of people phoning in and doing Q&A. And you know, so I feel very, very lucky, so lucky that they've asked me to come back on. And it's, yeah, really, I was missing that. So I feel very, very lucky. That's really boosted me up a lot. So thank you to BBC Essex and to anyone listening. You know, if you want to phone up, I'd love to have a natter with you on the air, because it's great fun.
Yeah, well done to Essex for bucking the trend slightly, because still more of our friends are losing their spots. A good friend of ours, Darren Rudge, who has been on West Midlands Radio for donkeys of years doing the gardening show, has obviously stopped, but he has a podcast. So I want to plug his podcast. It's called The Happy Gardener,
well done.
I believe. And he does it with the person he used to do the show with on BBC West Midlands. And it's a really good listen, actually. It's very similar to us. So if you are bored of us after 230 episodes or whatever it is, go and listen to them, because I don't know, it might be similar but different. There's the accents are different, I'll tell you. It's definitely West Midlands orientated. And Darren's quite a fun chap, isn't he?
Oh, it's whenever I see Darren, he's always got this beaming smile on his face anyhow.
Yeah.
You know, the laughing gardener, the happy gardener, that loves encapsulate him. He's a lovely, lovely man who also likes his homebrew.
Oh, the Marrow rum.
Japanese knotweed wine.
Yeah.
He treats us to all sorts of sociable delights.
Pick-me-ups.
Gardener's World. At the end of the show, not during the show, obviously, at the end of the show. So, yeah. And it's really good stuff. You know, sometimes people make homebrew and you're a little twitchy and nervous. Mm. You think, what's this cloudy liquid I'm going to be handed? He is really on it. And his is the clarity of it and it's really delicious. Mm. So, well done you, Darren.
A few observations from Stonelands and my garden. Because we're sort of coming to the end of the year, and I think it has been a long year. There's some ginger. So my gingers have been flowering all the way from August through to now. And actually, some of the ones that usually have to have a longer summer are flowering. So I think we have had quite a long growing season, it does feel.
Yeah.
Except it's been a bit up and down. So at Stonelands, we harvested all the squashes and the pumpkins. And I'd say I've had a middling year. The fruit set hasn't been fantastic. Not the worst, but, you know, I haven't had the biggest yield apart from, well, the shark's fin melon, but that produces more fruits than, you know, it's an absolute thug of a bit.
I saw your tweet about that. That's fantastic.
About 30 fruits off that. Eat that, Matt Oliver. but the others, the Uchiki Kuri.
Oh, my gosh. Well done. Yeah. You got it bang on.
The Uchiki Kuri did well. That tasted. We had some of that tonight, roasted. That was delicious.
Oh, aren't they good?
Yeah. Well, and I've got one called Sweet Dumpling, which I've got to try. I haven't grown
they're nice.
That one.
That's
before.
The like mottled one, isn't it? White and green.
Yeah, it's like a white and green, but it's meant to be quite tasty. Honey Bear, which is doesn't look very, you know, interesting like some squashes, but it's meant to be tasty. But Goosebumps was the one I told you about at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And it's a good looking squash. Not sure about if it's going to taste any good, but as a Halloween.
Is it bumpy?
It's bumpy, warty, you know, and it's sort of orange, but then the warts are green. So you can sort of see it's like slime coming down there. So yeah, I'm quite impressed.
It's pretty grotesque.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the only thing I'd say about the Goosebumps from last year's memory is that the skin of them is quite tough.
Yeah.
So when you come to carving them, be very careful that you don't slice off a digit in the process.
We don't want that.
We actually resorted to a power drill in the end. Granddad's power drill. That was great fun.
I'll give those,
for that, all the family.
I'll give those to the owners of Stolen so they can get their, their handsaws out and give those a good go in there.
And a jigsaw. A power drill and a jigsaw. Maybe an angle grinder.
Extreme pumpkin
but
carving.
But they look great.
Brilliant. So, yeah, so the squashes are good. All our herbaceous stuff. The asters have looked really good. I've got to say, all our asters have flowered really well this year.
Our asters are looking great at the hall.
Yeah, but they're
just
starting to go over now. Trying to enjoy them for the last few weeks. We'll see what the front... It'll be interesting how cold it gets. Stonelands is a bit more in the countryside on the east of Devon, so it gets a bit cooler than down here in the banana belt of West Devon. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, herbaceous is definitely going over. Apples. Now that's an interesting thing to talk about. I want to know how yours are done.
Yes.
Mine have either been cracking or very poor. Mm. So it depends on the variety.
Yes.
That's what I'm seeing.
Yep.
Same for you?
I concur with that entirely. The ones at the hall. So in our village, we have a harvest festival at the church every year. And I made a real effort this year because I got quite a lot of produce. I got a lot of butternut squash. If anyone on Instagram knows my account, they'll know I have a lot of butternut squash. And so I went and put into the church lots of butternut squash, crown prince squashes. I got lots of self-fertile coxes that look really nice, lovely and red. I got some brownies from a neighbour. I got some of main crop Cara potatoes, some red and yellow onions, all sorts. So I took that all to the church and it was a real lovely bountiful harvest. But conversely, the trees at the hall had really no fruit on them at all. And we're talking about, you know, we've got Discovery, we've got two Cox's Orange Pippin, we've got a Bramley's seedling, we've got a Blenheim Orange, we've got a late season one, Tyburn's Late Orange, I think it's the variety. They had a really weak crop. If anything, it was really contrasting. So yes, as you say, my Cox is self-fertile, a lovely crop, really good. And my neighbour's Bramley was very good. But at the hall,
Yeah.
Really, really shy to crop. So completely agree with you.
Yeah, it's been that. I don't know whether that's a pollination thing or whether just fruit drop. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see what happens next year, whether it's just how the year has panned out with all the weird epochs of weather we've been having. But yeah. I think I'm going to get still a good harvest off the few trees that have done quite well. So I'm happy with those. Some of the bulbs are looking very good at this time of year. We've got a load of nereens. I don't know if you grow any autumn bulbs at East Donald or at home, but the nereens seem to be...
We've got some autumn crocus popped up. That's it. Not many.
They seem to be going well. But I tell you what is doing really well, which has been a pain, to be honest, is grass. I don't know what's... The grass has just been growing. It's like my beard. It's just gone bushy. Been mowing a lot, I must say, every week, almost two days solid mowing at the moment, just to try and keep on top of
it. It's nice to see green grass though, as this time of year, isn't it? Don't you think?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna disagree. Mm. It's a bit of a weird one. Yeah. Thinking about last year and maybe a couple of other years where generally it's sort of growing back at this time of year. It's, you know, as the temperatures fall and the bit of moisture. But at the moment it's so lush and green. It's amazing.
It's been a good year for grass, hasn't it? A really good year for grass. Mm. Yes.
I'm hoping that means it'll have a good overwintering period and look really quite cracking for spring. We will see.
Is your brain in next year's mode yet? Because there's things such as onion sets, garlic sets,
garlic.
There's broad beans to sow. There's sweet peas to sow. There's all sorts of things to do. There's loads of, God, so many bulbs to plant. I've actually been a bit remiss on sorting out my bulb order, my tulips and my daffs. I want to get that sorted out imminently because suddenly it's middle of October. But there's loads of stuff to do, isn't there? I feel quite exhausted by the summer for all the various reasons. And it's taken me quite a lot of energy to push myself up out of my chair and get to the garden centres or get online and actually start making these orders to get my brain into spring mode.
It's difficult because one half of you is still sort of thinking about clearing from this year. But like you say, there's so much to think about for next year. I placed my bulb order last year, biggest bulb order I've ever placed. So I know we've got a lot of planting to do when they come. I've got garlic. Now, we didn't do any garlic last year. I completely forgot. And I don't really like planting garlic in spring. I don't think it grows that well. You don't get the bigger bulbs. But this year, I have six varieties. So I'm trialing six varieties of garlic.
Wow.
Plus elephant garlic, which, for the connoisseur, is not actually a proper garlic. It's actually a big leek. But so we've got these six garlic. They're all white. So solent white and purple white and... Little white and
have you got Rhapsody White?
Rhapsody White, Rhapsody White's
good.
Among them.
That's my favourite.
I think it's four soft necks, two hard necks. So we will see how that goes. But yes.
Well, you'll have some scapes.
And do you know, I'm going to do a broad bean trial as well because I've been growing the Sutton for so long. I'd like to try some other autumn varieties. So do you have any suggestions, actually? Where's my pen? I've got to write these down.
Oh, definitely, the Aquadolce. Aquadolce Claudia.
You've commented on this one in the
past. That's my go-to. Oh, honestly, Saul. So the Sutton is great, but it's very compact and you don't get many many beans per pod. And you do get a fair few pods per plant, but because it's dwarf, the yield per square metre is quite shy compared to other varieties. So compared to Aquadolce Claudia, the plants get a good metre and a half, 2 metres tall. The pods are so long, it's a long pod variety. So they're filled with big beans and you get at least 8-9 per pod. Ooh. So when it comes to trying to crop and get the maximum yield from the small plot, I've got two packets worth of Aquadolce and I'm going to sow loads of them and then freeze them because I think they're actually, for me, they're just the go-to bean.
Okay, so Sutton, Aquadolce. Any others can you think of? Good to have a third.
There's not many autumn ones, is there? You could try Demonica, which is claimed to be, if you sow it in spring, I've done Demonica before,
but only in spring. It was a good grower, I've got to say, very tall, quite a big.
Yeah,
beast,
I don't know how hardy it is.
I might as well try it.
Yeah, I don't know about an autumn sowing. I don't know about sowing it in the autumn.
That's
I don't know how hardy that one is.
That's the point of a trial, isn't it? Is to try these things out. Yeah. So,
definitely.
Brilliant. Yeah, so we've got those to plant. And like you say, onion sets. I always do mine. Because we're quite mild down here, you can really get the onions away before winter sets in. And I tend to find you get bigger plants.
I had a really good onion year this year.
Stronger plants to start in spring. Sweet peas.
Yes.
Sweet peas. Get your sweet peas sown. You'll be surprised how much better And earlier, you'll get a crop of flowers if you do them now. And they're hardy. You know, they can go down to -5 or something like that. So you don't have to worry about having particular conditions. You can just shove them in a cold frame or in the corner protected.
Have you got any favourites for sweet peas?
Do you know, I grew one this year. And Rhapsody Blue?
That was a nice,
what I would call a cutting flower sweet pea. Nice, long stem. You know, quite a big flag, so a very big flower. Mm. Not very good on scent.
Okay.
So if you're a scent person, you probably want to go for some of the more old-fashioned type sweet peas. But then I find those quite... Because you taught me this cordon method many years ago, and I've been using it religiously. I love it.
Well done.
I find that it's the ones that are bred for the big flowers that do well with the cordons, whereas with the old-fashioned...
Sort of exhibitor ones.
Yeah, and they tend to like to side shoot a lot. So trying to keep them under control is quite tricky. So I would suggest the old fashions maybe for rambling up a rose or, you know, sort of a one that you want to just grow all over the place. Mm. Whereas if you're going to grow the cordons for cut flowers, go for the big, the ones that are grown for shows, in essence.
Yes, yeah. I got some amazing stem lengths on mine this year and I was astounded. And I was like, oh, I can see how the exhibitors do it now. And they grow them under glass, they're all polytunnels. So they are really allowed to, you know, control the conditions. But I haven't got the seeds yet. I need to get hold of these. So Cupani, which is the two-tone one, doesn't have a massively long stem, but it's a really wonderful two-tone sweet pea. And then Blue Velvet and Beaujolais. So the Blue Velvet is a lovely proper, it's like a rich blue. It's not dark, but it's like a proper rich, not a watered out blue. And then Beaujolais is like a wine red. It's beautiful. And so those three together are going to be my go-to combination for the spring. I said it's exactly the same as I did this year, but it was so good. I was really chuffed with them.
Talking of, and these aren't really ones you would grow over the winter, but talk about flowering annuals, climbing annuals. I did a little trial on a few things, including the plants I got from Kelvin, who is the head gardener down at Bewley.
Oh,
he gave me the Canterbury Bells. What is that? Rhodochiton. He gave the ones he sowed.
That's right.
I tell you what, they grew amazingly well. They're a good now 8 foot, covered, literally dripping with flowers. So... Kelvin, if you're listening, and I know you said you occasionally listen to this podcast, so this is testing whether you do. Sow a few more, because I definitely want to buy a few more off you next year, because I'm going to use them up the actual house. Because if they flower like they did this year, the owners will be absolutely amazed by this amazing display of purple. Like very like a, it's like got a little bell flower, but then a little flower inside
it.
It's like a...
Lovely things, aren't they? It just reminded me, I wanted to give a shout out to... Giovanni, by the way.
Oh,
so
yes.
Giovanni, if you're listening, and I'm really flattered that you did listen, I hope you're very well, and it was lovely to hear from you. We'll leave it at that.
There you go, Giovanni. Anyway, look, we're coming to the end. God, we could talk for another half hour to catch up, but we are coming to the end of this episode. You know, let's see what the week holds, and we'll catch up with all the listeners again next week.
Yeah,
and hopefully we'll have something a little bit more exciting and gardening to talk about. I don't know.
I need to go and have a bath. That's what I need to do to sort out my aching body. So I'll be in the bath for the whole week.
And that, listeners, is how we're going to leave you. Lucy in the bath.
Oh,
good night. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. We hope you enjoyed listening and look forward to you joining us again for the next look into our gardening lives. If you'd like to contact myself or Lucy, we're free to chat on our social media platforms. Lucy is on Instagram at headgardenerlc. And you can find me on Twitter at Gardening Saul. Any review you'd like to leave via your podcast provider will always be gratefully received.
As the nights draw in and cool summer drinks are replaced with a thermos of soup, autumn will share its delightful chameleon displays as the garden gives one last hurrah this year. Watching the garden change throughout the year is a great privilege we have of working outside for our living, and autumn days can be among the best of them.
And so, until the next episode of Talking Heads, goodbye!
Goodbye!